A new report out this week is ruffling some feathers in the state's education community. The 2014 Teacher Prep Review looked at how schools across the country prepare teachers for a future in education and found that Wisconsin and some other states could use some improvement.
No program in the state earned the group's top-ranked status, which is awarded for overall strong performance when it comes to training teachers, and that's generated some discussion here in Wisconsin's education community.
Here to talk about the results of the report is Kate Walsh. She is the president of the National Council on Teacher Quality, the group that issued the report. And Kate, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to start out with a little bit of background on the council itself, because I suspect a lot of people haven't heard of it before this report came out. Now, in the FAQ section on your website there, it says the NCTQ is committed to restructuring the teaching profession, and it formed back in 2000. What have you been up to since then?
Well, basically, the problem is that the teaching profession is in very poor health. There are many wonderful teachers in the classroom, but this is not our focus. Our focus is on the policies that have so much of an impact on teachers. So we look at what states are doing, what higher ed's doing, what unions and districts are doing, all of which their actions of those institutions every day have everyday impact on teachers in the classroom.
And in this case, specifically, teacher training is what we're talking about. So tell me a little bit about the survey, the report. As I understand it, this was the second year for it.
Yeah, this is a pretty massive effort because there are so many institutions in the United States which train teachers. There are actually 1,450. It's interesting, you can compare that to China, where there are only 189, and they're four times bigger than we are. So we have a lot of schools of education, and some of them produce only a couple teachers a year. Some of them produce hundreds and hundreds of teachers a year. So it's a huge market, and no one has ever come up with a way to distinguish one program from another. So teachers make decisions about where to go for their preparation, and they really have no information on which to go by.
So given that, how did you set about trying to do this? How did the survey work?
We wanted to see what programs thought was important. So what are they teaching? And what happens to teachers to get them ready for the classroom? Our whole focus is on what teachers need to walk into a classroom on that first day of school and be competent. Not be superstars, but just be competent. And so our lens is very much on what public schools say their new teachers lack. We're looking at all the various things that new teachers aren't getting that they should be getting. So we start with raw talent. Are programs sufficiently selective? You know, it's fascinating that in the United States we have sort of an open-door policy to getting into teaching, which is such a demanding job, requires intellectual rigor, and yet we have a policy in place that basically says if you want to teach, if you love kids, you belong in the profession. And that's just not true. You need to love kids, but you also need to have some academic ability. And then on top of that, we then start looking at the content preparation. What are the courses they take? We look at the practice they're getting. We look at the quality of the student teaching experience. And we also try to look at their outcomes, though we haven't been as successful getting a hold of what these outcomes are from programs.
And so one of the criticisms of the survey is that you haven't had the ability to get into the classroom, to get inside the programs, really, to look at how the students are interacting with professors and that sort of thing. And it's sort of a paper survey. How do you respond to those sorts of criticisms?
Well, we're looking at what's important about the program. So you don't need to go visit a program to figure out how selective they are. The admission standards are very clear. And then we're looking at what they require their students to read and what they tell school districts is important about their student teachers and what kind of classrooms they need to be assigned to. We're looking at all sorts of things about, like, the instrument that the student teachers are used to evaluate the student teachers. So We think we're looking at very important things that any consumer, any aspiring teacher would want to know. For example, if you're going to go into a program, wouldn't you want to know if they're going to teach you how to teach reading? Nothing's more basic, but a lot of programs aren't doing it.
We've only got about a minute left before the break, and then we'll be coming back. But as it turns out, Wisconsin did not do particularly well in the survey this year.
I would put Wisconsin in the bottom quartile of states. And that's not to say that there aren't many, many fine teachers who are graduating from institutions in Wisconsin. I'm sure there are superstars coming out of many programs. What our lens, our take is to look and see whether a program is adding value. Are you going to be a better teacher than you would have been otherwise for having gone through various programs? And we're seeing very little value added from these programs.
We're talking with the president of the National Council on Teacher Quality, Kate Walsh. Her group's new report suggests that teacher training programs in Wisconsin are lagging well behind those in the other parts of the country. And you can join in the discussion if you'd like at 800-642-1234.
If you're a teacher or training to become one, what do you make of this news? Or if you work in one of the state's teacher training programs, what do you think about this? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with Kate Walsh, the president of the National Council on Teacher Quality. Her group has released a new report, the 2014 Teacher Prep Review, and among other things, it indicates that Wisconsin's teacher training programs could be improved a fair amount. You can join the conversation if you'd like at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. If you're in one of those programs right now, or if you've recently graduated, how do you feel the program served you? Are there changes that you would like to see instituted that could help make you a better educator? And are you wondering where your program is ranked? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also post comments on the Central Time Facebook page. Kate Walsh, before we get to phone calls, one of the things I'd like to point out is that in Wisconsin, not all the schools chose to participate in the survey. Why do you suppose that is?
This has not been this has worked. It's not been embraced, shall we say, by higher ed. They have not been particularly interested in having this information public. We're only trying to collect information that every student who is in a program has access to, but nevertheless, it's something that higher ed has not been interested in sharing.
Do you see that changing at all? Or has it been pretty much a constant since you've begun your work?
Oh, well, definitely I'm spending less money on lawyers these days to try to get folks to comply with the law. We had to put in open records requests with institutions last year. And we're finding that this year there's been a growing number of institutions which have come to us privately, at least, to admit that that this is causing them to reexamine how it is they're preparing teachers.
Well, let's go to the phones right now. We've got some listeners who would like to join in, and we begin in Milwaukee with Patty. Hi, Patty.
Hi, I graduated from UWM in education in 1978, and I was in the classroom for a few years full-time, but then did a lot of substitute teaching in the meantime. And even back then, I mean, this is certainly not a new issue. I was absolutely shocked as a young teacher how unprepared I was for classroom management and other things. And it just seems to me that it would make sense for a teacher. I mean, my student teaching experience was great, but I needed another year to have like a fellowship or an internship where I observed teachers and I worked with other teachers to perfect what is really an incredible talent, really, to be a teacher. And I never got that. They just throw these young people in the classroom with no help.
Patty, thanks so much for the call, and thanks so much for the insights. Kate Walsh, 1978, was a long time ago. Have there been changes since then?
No, if anything, it's gotten worse, I would say. You know, teachers really complain a lot about the lack of training they get in classroom management or how to teach reading. And people think it's just because schools of education are spending too much time on theory. The answer is a little bit more complicated than that. Really, schools of ed decided in the 1970s that it was not their job to train teachers. And if you're scratching your head, it's what I did when I realized that. But they're very clearly, they've become very clear about this. They say that that is not what they're supposed to do. So as a result, teachers like your recent caller never aren't getting what they need in by way of practical training.
Well, what are they getting then? I mean, they're spending 3-4 years in college, allegedly getting a degree in education, right?
Well, when you ask folks in teacher education what it is they think they should be doing, they believe that their job is to create a professional identity of the aspiring teacher. That's not altogether clear to me what that means, but it does mean that they think that they can prepare someone to make really good decisions on their own, and that it would bias them to give them a lot of information that they might take out of context. So not the idea is not to train, and I know this is hard to understand, so if you're feeling a little bit confused, it's understandable. But if the idea is not to train, the idea is to mold the new teacher.
Let's head back to the phones right now, and Lynn joins us from Green Bay. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I've got a question about outcomes, because your organization ranks teacher training so low in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin ranks second in our ACT scores, and we have a higher literacy rate than the rest of the country at 93%, compared to the U.S. as a whole at 86%. So if we're doing such a horrible job in, you know, the bottom 25%, the outcomes don't correlate with what's happening in the classroom. So certainly there's always room for improvement. And I'm also interested in where you get your funding from.
All right. Two questions there, Lynn. Thanks for the call. Kate Walsh, let's start with the conundrum first. Why are the outcomes so good in Wisconsin if the teacher training is not?
Well, that's a fabulous question, and it goes back to what I started with when we started our conversation. We're not saying that there aren't many great teachers who come out of these programs. What we're saying is that these programs are not adding value. They're not helping the teacher get ready for that first year in the classroom. So teachers are having to learn on their own or from other colleagues on how to be a good teacher. So that's part of the reason why explains why Wisconsin does so well. The other reason that Wisconsin continues to do so well is that it has a much less challenging population than most states do in the United States. So schools can perform at a very high level because they are relative to other states. It's a less challenging population with less poverty. So you always have to factor that into any frame of how you look at this problem. And then lastly, as for our funding, we get a lot of funding from all over the country, all from private philanthropists. So for this project, we had well over 70 funders, including a couple located in Wisconsin, with an average grant size of $25,000.
Let's go into Jessica right now, and Jessica joins us from Milwaukee.
Hi, I used to be a teacher for a couple years in Milwaukee, and something that I wish I knew going into teaching were some of the policies and laws that protected me as a teacher and also protected my fellow teachers, because I was in a lot of questionable circumstances that I had to figure out on my own what I was going to do. And I listened to my principal sometimes, and oftentimes I, you know, put myself in very questionable situations because I didn't know what was right and what was wrong as far as the legal aspect goes. And now that I'm done with teaching, I'm reflecting on my experience and thinking, you know, I mean, the million different ways what I should have done. And I have horror stories from my experience because I didn't know what was right and wrong at the time, and I felt like I got taken advantage of as a new teacher for not knowing.
Jessica, thank you for the call. And Kate Walsh, is that the sort of practical thing that you think is lacking in teacher training these days?
That isn't actually an area that we looked at as much as do teachers know how to manage a classroom of student behavior. So do new teachers get the instruction they need to minimize the kind of behavior problems which your caller was alluding to, and how to keep kids from, how to keep behavior problems from escalating. And while every program tells us they teach classroom management, what we learned was when you dig down, you see very little evidence that the actual strategies that are research-based are taught in these programs. But more importantly than just being taught, they're not practiced either. So we looked at the instruments that are used to evaluate student teachers, and we said, is there any evidence that the program is expecting a student teacher to know the importance of applying positive reinforcement so kids don't try to get attention through negative ways? I mean, that's something parents all learn about, right? Unfortunately, I learned about it way too late in my own children's childhood. But I wish someone had told me that when I was in a hospital with my new babies, the importance of positive reinforcement. Well, the same goes for teachers. They need to not only know the importance of positive reinforcement, they also need to practice it in really difficult situations when they want to be yelling and they can't.
Let's take one more call. We've got time for Jane, who joins us from Menominee. Hi.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is, what does your guest think of these programs that take professionals? They take a scientist that's working in a lab and say that they can teach science, or an accountant can come in and teach math. And they have not gotten any kind of teacher education. And I know there's programs out there. I don't know if they're on the federal or state level, but they certainly are putting and pushing for that kind of program, and I do have a teaching degree. I decided not to teach. I found out that's not for me. But classroom management was not my problem. So I just wondered what she felt about programs that just take professionals without any teaching skills and strategies to go into the classroom.
Well, let's ask her. Kate Walsh, what do you think about that? Are we talking about like adjunct faculty, that sort of thing?
No, we're talking about alternative certification, I believe.
Like Teach for America, that kind of thing?
Teach for America, the New Teacher Project. So in this year's review, we started looking at those programs. And what was interesting to us is that they actually performed worse than the traditional programs. We looked at their admission standards and whether or not the teachers know what they're going to teach, and also what kind of support they're getting. And we saw pretty low performance across the board. There were some programs like Teach for America in Massachusetts, not in every state, because we looked at each program individually. But we did find some programs that did a pretty good job of not abandoning the teacher in the classroom without any sort of preparation and really making sure they got a lot of support. But for the most part, your caller is right. A lot of the alternative certification programs are not doing what they need to do to keep to support the new teacher.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. But, Kate, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure.
We've been talking with Kate Walsh, the president of the National Council on Teacher Quality. Her group has just issued a report which looks at the quality of teacher training programs across the nation.